Dr. Paul, welcome to Against the Wind, Doctors in Science Under Fire. Today's show features a very extensive interview with a good friend of mine, Dr. Jim Meehan. Let me tell you, this man, as an ophthalmologist and one of the editors of one of the major journals, discovered something very sinister going on about shaken baby syndrome. You're going to want to figure out what the heck that is. And then look, we unpack the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, the founder, the 2020 COVID-19 reset, Davos 2022. And I asked Dr. Meehan, what is mindset health? Because this is the approach he uses. You're going to want to learn this approach because it is amazing. And it's really the solution we've been talking about on several of our shows of creating a parallel system of health. Bernadette finishes it off for our show today, discussing the benefits of none other than fasting. Yes, it is important, it is vital, it has been known for centuries, since practically the beginning of mankind. Enjoy the show. Dr. Paul from the heart. You know, it's summer, it's warm outside, this is the time to have some fun. Definitely shed those masks if you haven't done that yet. It is a time to live with no fear. We've been through a couple, 2-3 years where I think fear-mongering from all levels, all over the place, has really suppressed and depressed so many people. You know, if you live from a place of either depression and anger to neutral to then excitement and maybe romance as the extreme of that continuum of how you feel, you might miss something that I just stumbled on in my spirit today as I was pondering what I wanted to talk about, and that was, I can be joy. I can be joyful no matter what's going on around me. Parents, our kids need this from us. Loved ones, friends that you have, they need this from us. We need to live joyfully no matter what's going on. We can be that calm amidst the storm and get out and have fun. It's our time. Welcome, Dr. Jim Meehan. Man, it's always great to have you on the show.
Oh, it's always great to be with you, Paul. I just appreciate so much of what you've contributed to medicine, and you're just a good friend, and I always like to see your smiling face.
You're so kind. You, my friend, are one of my heroes, and I thought this show is happening right after Memorial Day, and I know you're a vet. Mm-hmm. I grew up a missionary kid in Africa. So I turned 18 right when I came back to the States, went down to the DMV to register for the draft. And they told me, oh, they just canceled the draft. You don't have to register. I'm thinking, whoa, phew. So, you know, right. I dodged all that, but you went, you enlisted, right?
Yeah. Well, I went to the United States Military Academy at West Point. You know, that was the only college that I applied to. I was, I don't know what it was. I mean, I didn't come from a military family. I just was really driven to serve our country. I liked the challenge. You know, I wanted to go crawl in the mud, shoot guns, do all those kind of fun things. And, you know, so for me, basic and advanced infantry training was just fun. It was playtime. And, wow. But yeah, it was a great experience for me. And I love the, you know, I love our service men and women. They put their lives on the line. It's and we don't take care of them. We just absolutely don't take care of them once they've gone out and put their lives on the line, been exposed to nightmarish toxins in the field, and we just haven't appreciated them. And that's something that breaks my heart. It's a big part of my service now in medicine is I take care of a lot of our injured veterans, PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, and I always try to give back, but those are my brothers and sisters in service. And I appreciate that. But I honestly, for me, it was all fun. I just decided to go into medicine and not pursue a 20-year career. And I am I'm glad God put me in the place that he put me in now, especially at a time such as this.
Yeah. No, we're so blessed. Thank you, all of you who have served. You know, there's this interesting thing that's happening in our world. And Jim, we're going to talk about it a bit on today's show. And that is, you know, our founding fathers, our Constitution, this country is what veterans fought for, our freedoms, right? And it feels like we're watching them just being hijacked from within, from these weird external forces.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, we're watching as the Great Reset is, you know, right there in our faces with, you know, people like Klaus Schwab. And of course, recently we've kind of realized that who the cult like guru is in this whole thing. And it's this guy, if you haven't looked up this guy, Yuval, J-U-V-A-L, Noah Harari. And yeah, he's kind of the advisor to Schwab and Obama and Zuckerberg and so many other in this cult of elite, you know, overlords is the way I see it. You know, this is the 1% that sees the rest of us, the 99% is useless eaters. Yeah. And they, you know, when you look at Noah Harari, Yuval Noah Harari's website, you really see how dark this process is. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. And I believe that we are, you know, seeing spiritual warfare being engaged right here. He's a transhumanist. He's a homosexual transhumanist, believes that we should be connecting, you know, the 99% to the matrix. You know, we should just plug in. And he's even said things to the extent that, you know, that there will be some, you know, for many of the population, it'll be a life of video games and drugs, essentially saying, you know, he just wants to control us to the point that we follow the commands of these elite overlords. But it's a really dangerous process that we're engaging in right here. This experiment in democracy of the United States of America, one of the most, you know, blessed, I think, foundations of a, you know, our constitution, our laws and our protections of freedom, those freedoms are being taken from us. We're, you know, at no time in history is it more evident than right now, as we see public health being, you know, weaponized against us, serving not the public interest, but the interest of big corporations and this World Economic Forum, Davos Group, kind of Great Reset that is trying to track and surveil and control all aspects of our life. And I think they have really overestimated themselves and underestimated the 99% of us that will never submit. I won't give up for any bit, you know, of my freedom for just a little bit of security. It's not a math that I will ever do. I don't think that equation ever works out in favor of giving up freedoms. We have to defend those, or we'll have the government, you know, mandating injection after injection after injection. And yeah, and I think you and I are both aligned in the demise of health in our population that has occurred as we have allowed, you know, something like the tobacco science that I think the childhood vaccine program, what it represents, the lack of gold standard rigorous controls. We've allowed that for decades now to be administered by the recommendations of the CDC. And now we've got the CDC, you know, a place where science goes to die, by the way, you know, pumping out some of the worst science that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That many.
And then recommendations based on junk science.
Junk science, absolute, you know, yeah, trash science. And the landfill that the CDC has become for this trash science is very embarrassing, you know, to America. And it's something I think it's past time that we defund, eliminate the CDC. I don't think you can reform that deep state that's running in our government at the public health levels. You got to get rid of the demonic leprechaun, aka Anthony Fauci. You got to get rid of that man and just get him out of there. He's been controlling the funding and of research for over four decades now. And that has resulted in we're not doing the scientific experiments and research that we should be doing to demonstrate that, you know, masks are ineffective. At the very best, they're ineffective. At their worst, they're causing so much harm in the population that these vaccines, which are dropping people dead at levels we've never seen before. My clinic now is full of the autoimmune and antibody dependent enhancement, the ovarian and testicular dysfunction that's occurring after vaccination and these young people that were statistically zero risk of dying from COVID and at much higher risk of developing myocarditis, ovarian dysfunction, or infertility. I mean, we're only beginning to see the fallout of this nightmarish experiment on the human population with a gene therapy mislabeled as a vaccine. And all of this is intolerable, but it's what they want. And it's what these elite overlords want. And they have been working on this for a very long time. This is, you know, you got to give it to our enemies here. They are very strategic. They're long-term planners.
They're very well funded.
And they're very well funded. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, I mean, it's again, money is the pursuit or love of money is the root of all evil. And a lot of these elitists that are never really had to build a business or struggle, you know, they don't understand what it's like to have to start a business. I mean, they have lots of businesses, but they didn't start any of them. Most of them received their money from others. I mean, Grant Zuckerberg, you know, built Facebook. He stole it from others, but you know, these are the people that we're fighting against. And I think their agenda is very clear, Paul. I mean, I don't want to get you deplatformed from YouTube or anything like that, but I think this is a depopulation agenda. And many of them, Ted Turner, has spoken outwardly about his desire to depopulate the planet. And Gates is the same way.
Yep.
And I think their plan has been, let's just, you know, slowly poison the population. Let's spray tons of glyphosate on our food. Let's, you know, vaccinate with 72 antigens over the course of 18 years. Children, let's pretend that we actually did some good science to support the safety and efficacy. But since we didn't, let's just devise a mantra and indoctrinate our medical students and doctors from the first day of medical school to the last day of their practice with the mantra of vaccines are safe and effective. Vaccines don't cause autism. None of those are supportable in court. We could present the evidence very clearly that says you haven't done the science that allows you to say that. And correct. and yet many of our colleagues, that is their firm belief. And now we have the opportunity during the pandemic to see just how tragically they have misrepresented the science, how they have contrived fraudulent, bought and paid for research studies to try to support a false narrative of a failed, you know, genetic experiment. That genetic experiment is such a tremendous failure. It's not only not preventing infections and transmission, it's not preventing from severe disease and death. In fact, if you've been vaccinated multiply, you are more likely to contract Omicron. And I'm afraid that we're going to continue to see the devastating mistake of vaccinating the population in the midst of a pandemic, evolutionary pressures on that highly replicating and mutable virus to form, you know, increasingly more dangerous variants. And if we don't stop that process and we don't forevermore say governments of any kind, organizations, world organizations of any kind, you have no power over our bodies. Our medical freedom is precious. The men and women of the United States, the people that were my brothers and sisters, you know, on the battlefields and in the training camps, we fought to protect that. And I can tell you as a 57-year-old man, I will get back on that battlefield if it comes to the continued erosion of our freedoms. It's unacceptable. And these elitists in Davos and elsewhere, they won't prevail. They won't prevail. And fortunately, what I'm seeing now is I'm seeing so many people waking up, not just the public, but our colleagues too. Sorry, I'm ranting because this.
No. This is great. You covered a lot of material. So I wanted to go back to one thing. Mm-hmm. I recently woke up to this Yuval Noah Harari guy. By some, he's called the prophet. I believe Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, has used that term. I saw a couple quotes. I think you were actually on this show where I saw these quotes. So Silicon Valley is where the new religions that will formulate the world are taking place. This was one quote from Harari. Another one, humans are now hackable animals. Idea that humans have this soul or spirit and nobody knows what's happening inside them and they have free will, that's over. This is what he said. And then he says, science isn't about truth. It's about power.
Exactly. Right there. He puts it out right in front. Yeah. And I think the tagline on his website is history began when men imagined gods, and history ends when men become gods. This is who this man is. This is the prophet, the man that is advising all of these world leaders, Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum elite overlords. This is the man that is advising even, President Obama and Zuckerberg, and everybody should study Yuval Noah Harari. I think the last name is H-A-R-A-R-I-I, maybe.
H-A-R-A-R-I.
Just one I. Okay.
I think so.
Look into this guy, and if that's what you support, if that's the side of this, this battle, this control of the world population, if that's who you support, then good luck to you, because that place ends in darkness.
Yeah.
He wants to connect us to the AI, to the Matrix.
Yeah. They're talking about that at Davos. This is implantable tracking devices. This is on there. Must do, will do, whether it's injected as part of a vaccine or it's given as a tattoo or they find some other sinister way of getting tracking right into our bodies.
Right.
Then we get connected to 24/7 surveillance. Fellow Americans, you want to be living in a world like in China, where you cannot say certain things or they disconnect you from your money. It's the suppression and oppression that's going on there is right around the corner for us if we don't wake up.
That's exactly right. And Paul, that humans as hackable animals, you need to understand the ramifications of this surveillance systems that they're talking about under the skin. That is a two-way communication. He's talking about, and he says it right there in those quotes, and he says that hackable animals thing all the time. His next book will probably be, something hackable animals. And, but that's a real dangerous. There is, you can control human physiology. We are bioelectric beings. If they connect us to some external, system, that is a two-way communication, and you could induce, if nothing else, you could induce discomfort. You could create inflammation, and that inflammation is one of the things that is already plaguing humanity. When we are, when our brains are inflamed, we become like dopamine seeking addicts. You get those little pings of dopamine from your Facebook, social media type stuff. It's drugs and alcohol, pornography. You're consuming the products, and they're creating the solutions. They're creating the products that they're going to become, multi-billionaires from, as they induce this, and that induction of disease, diminishment, making us weaker, inflamed, sicker. We become nothing but consumers to them.
Speak to me a little bit about the school shootings that have been going on lately. This is so distressing, I know, for people to watch and hear about innocent children just getting gunned down. I think it reflects on our society as a whole. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. And a perfect segue from what I was just talking about, because it's this phenomenon, that psychological phenomenon of the rats in the cage, test where you would take, so you take a rat, you put them in a cage, you wear a metal cage, and you can electrify the floor, and you just constantly, administer shocks to that rat, and it's painful, and they'll curl up and when in isolation, they'll curl up in a ball, a state of depression and isolation. But the rats in the cage, where it becomes really relevant, is when you put two rats in a cage and you can constantly administer that stressor of the electric shocks, those two rats will displace their pain, their discomfort on each other, and they will tear each other apart. It's a classic experiment in psychology. It's been replicated in multiple animals and in humans. Illegal experiments have been done on humans in this. And that's where we are right now. And that's, you know, the waves of fear, the fear of the, you know, SARS-CoV-2, now it's monkeypox, and, you know, it's one thing after another, but we are the rats in a cage, and it's, you know, this intentional, and it's intentional, make no mistake about it, this intentional stress events and cycles of fear are moving us to a point where there's so much division and chaos and strife in the population. They're doing that. They're doing that intentionally. Why would you, you know, why would you, as a leader in a, you know, of a public health or of a country, why would you, you know, create such ridiculous, unnecessary stress, isolation? Got to wear your mask. No, it's two masks. You got to get your vaccinations. Ignore the data. Ignore the science. Just follow my voice. Just do what I tell you to do. It's, you know, the end of humanity is nigh if you do not follow our dictates.
So what's the solution?
Yeah.
What's the solution, Jim, for just for the viewer that's hearing all of this? Yeah. It's a bit, right? The sky's falling. Everything seems to be out of kilter.
Yeah.
What do you say? I mean, I know you well enough to know that when you go home, you're not fearful. You're hugging your kids. Well, your kids are largely grown, but you know, you're hugging your wife. When your kids are over, there's love and harmony. What do you suggest for people?
Yeah, well, the first thing you got to do is you got to make food your medicine. You got to, and you want your medicine to not be toxic waste. So, you know, you got to clean up the food. No genetically modified food. You got to keep glyphosate out of your body. Just that, you know, a plate of nachos on genetically modified corn chips is an antibiotic effect that hits your gut microbiome. And if you start disrupting the gut microbiome, you disrupt, you know, your physiology in a dramatic way, your neurotransmitter levels, most of your serotonin is produced in the gut. And so it creates this cascade of events that will make you uncomfortable and inflamed.
I've got to highlight this one because I love nachos, and I know that corn and soy are two of the largest glyphosate crops in our country. Mm-hmm. Almost every bit of corn grown in this country is laden with glyphosate. And yet I do eat nachos, and I didn't think about the fact that I've got to make sure I've got organic tortilla chips that are free of glyphosate.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to start, you know, and it's lots of it in our food. And in fact, 75% of the rainfall in the United States has been shown to be contaminated with glyphosate. It's such a, you know, it bioaccumulates in the environment. So I wish that we would quit allowing corporations to buy our politicians and continue to pass and allow them and this, you know, regulatory captured EPA to allow these companies to spray so much toxic herbicides on our foods. But you can start raising your family to filter your water, avoid genetically modified foods, you know, really start trying to feed yourself with healthy, clean, you know, bright colored foods that, you know, get to know your local farmers.
Yeah.
You know, and my family, we're moving to start growing more of our own food. You know, we're
fantastic.
We're buying a farm, and as long as we can find some farmland that Gates hasn't bought yet, which is, you know, another very interesting phenomenon. Why is Bill Gates the largest farmland owner in the United States? We all need to be asking that question. But the Meehan family, we are feeding our children and grandchildren much better than the industrial waste, these industrial chicken farms. I will not, everybody should think about making a visit to Tyson Chicken or one of these kind of places and see that the chicken that you're eating is sleeping in its own excrement, that it's so dirty. So they're administering so many vaccines and growth hormones and antibiotics to get these chickens to survive the nightmare of crowded conditions. And then we're eating that stuff. If you think that's the food that your grandfathers and great grandparents ate, You don't have a clue. You don't know what real food tastes like.
Yeah.
We're going to have to start growing more of our own food. And that's a huge part of it. I mean, it takes away this industrialization of our food that has happened. It saves you money. You start filtering your water, you know, get a Berkey filter. If nothing else, doesn't require any power. But you should be filtering your water because they're putting fluoride and chloramine and so many other molecules, including the estrogens from birth control pills, that are finding its way into our water sources. So you just got to start thinking about becoming a scientist of your own health, cleaning up everything that you put in or on your body. Another example, a real life example that you can use is I send all of my patients to EWG.org, environmentalworkinggroup.org. And they have a tab on there for skin deep. Ladies, your makeups are a toxic mess. Yeah, many of the makeups that you have. So you go there, you see what kind of a grade, you're probably going to have a product that's got a C or a D grade in the the Environmental Working Group Skin Deeps section. And you want to start cleaning up the quality of your personal care products because those chemicals pass through the skin very easily. It's our children today are being born with, if you test the cord blood of a newborn today, there's over 200 serious environmental toxins that are found in that cord blood. Our children are developing in a stew of, petrochemicals, endocrine disrupting, xenoestrogens that are going to change their brains, their bodies, and that's being borne out. It's one of the reasons why I think we have one of the sickest populations of children in all developed countries. You marry that toxic nightmare with the problem of too many vaccines, hepatitis B at birth, and batteries of vaccines every several months thereafter, bad foods, and you've got a prescription for a sick, diminished, weak, confused population that is going to be easily controlled. And for me, it's like, I'll give you an example. I used to be addicted to Mountain Dew during residency and medical school. I became addicted to Mountain Dew. They put 22 teaspoons of sugar in that ghostly green Mountain Dew.
A lot of sugar and caffeine.
Yeah. And that's why I think all medical students and residents probably have to, those 72 hour call periods and all that kind of stuff. But I became really sick. And then I realized that they're intentionally making that product so that it is addictive. And the thing that made it so easy for me to stop my addiction was to realize and intellectualize the fact that they are intentionally hacking my neurochemistry. They are intentionally, nefariously trying to turn me into a sugar addict and get me addicted to that product. Because you drink one, and after the big sugar dump and the hypoglycemia that follows that, you're
need
in
another.
That. You need another one. And that just pisses me off, And yeah. It's like, realize that everything in our system, so much of what's in our system, in our foods and our drinks and the pharmaceuticals are designed that way as well, that they are intentionally, driving us into a state of physical and chemical dependency and addiction. And just see it for what it is and then say, no more. I will not allow them to manipulate me that way.
So you were starting down a path I was going to end with, but I'm not done with you yet. I'm going to coax you along because I was going to end with the fact that I know on your website, mehanmd.com, you have mindset health. And this is sort of your overall approach, I think. And you've started talking about the microbiome and inflammation and then nutrition and the importance of avoiding toxins, which is you get them anyway in the womb. Those are unavoidable. Yeah. But then you get to make choices. You don't want to inject toxins with vaccines. You want to filter your water. You want to eat organic food as best as possible. What are the other two, three things that are part of the mindset health?
Yeah. So mindset is a framework I developed. It's an acronym. The M is for the microbiome. It's also kind of the mind, body, spirit connection. I is inflammation control. N is nutrition. D, detoxification. And then S is sleep. E is exercise and energetics. And then T is total hormone balance. And the concept here is that if we don't have our, all those are the seven key elements of health. If you don't have those in balance, if one of those is an outlier, it's really, if you're not sleeping deeply and well every night, then nothing else matters. And so much of what we do in medicine is we kind of tinker around the edges, you know, a pill for every ill, instead of focusing on, you know, kind of measuring and kind of scoring what their health is in each one of those characteristics. And so, you know, I always focus on, I have developed an algorithm that can kind of score you in the microbiome area, the inflammation. We use that algorithm utilizes, you know, laboratory data, subjective survey data, and kind of give you a score. And then I move you along, you know, give you action steps, little action steps, like cut out the soda pop is an easy one. The glyphosate consumption, these are step one. And by the way, most of these don't cost you a dime. They will save you, you know, lots of dollars. Just because they're eliminating the bad stuff. And none of them, many of the things that I recommend in these, you know, these action steps, a little small steps, baby steps, a little bit at a time, trying to move each one of those seven key elements to better, you know, to better levels of performance and function is it's easier to do. It's not I'm not like making you drink from a fire hydrant every time you come see me. It's about these little steps, and I just kind of push it out to them a little bit at a time. And soon we'll have kind of an app that engages that, and we'll, you know, every day you can click into the app and it'll say, today the three things that you've got to do are the following. And those three things will either be focused on, you know, where they're the weakest and trying to make them stronger there. But at the end of the day, over a period of time, we'll have moved them from, you know, real problematic sleep and inflammation to a place of optimal health and wellness. And it's an educational I mean, let's remember what the origin of the term doctor is. It's teacher. We are teachers. And the tagline for my business is, and my practice is, become a scientist of your own health. Stop going to the traditional medical model, because it's all it's going to do is drug you and treat, you know, it's going to cut out your gallbladder, your uterus, your ovaries. It's going to deprive you of your health, and it's going to profit from it. And I hate to say that. I mean, this is our profession, but our profession has lost its way. It's become, you know, it's been co-opted by big business, big industry, and at no time in history have we seen it so devoid of critical thinking skills than we've seen during this pandemic.
Yeah, so true. I wanted to take you back to a topic I know you're very well informed on, that I am embarrassed to, I'm going to confess right here on the platform. So I was a young pediatrician, and I was taught about shaken baby syndrome.
Oh yeah.
And I was taught that the pathognomonic, meaning if you see this, it's shaken baby, signed, sealed, delivered, proof. And that was retinal hemorrhages, right? When you have you have a ophthalmology background, you were the editor of a major journal. I am embarrassed to admit, and if the family that I'm talking about sees this, get back in touch with me, get in touch with Dr. Meehan. I had a family visit me, and the dad was imprisoned for shaking his baby, so child abuse. The only finding was retinal hemorrhages, but they didn't have the ammunition to be able to prove in court that it wasn't the father. And the mom's, she couldn't blame the dad because she knew what kind of dad he was. He was an incredible dad, and I didn't know how to help him.
Right.
So can you share that story?
Yeah. This story covers a lot of the problems that we have in medicine and science. And so, I began my career in ophthalmology, trained at one of the top ophthalmology training programs at Washington University in St. Louis. I was a medical editor of the Journal of Ocular Immunology and Inflammation. It all began. And in fact, my transformation and my, you know, unplugging from the matrix kind of began with the fact that I had two journal articles or two research studies that were done at one in from Italy, one from the West Coast of the United States, that had done these powerful, elegant studies on the association of these retinal bleeding and, you know, the dot blot and retinal hemorrhages that occur in the back of our eyes from various pathologies. The finding in these two studies that were unrelated, but for somehow, you know, they were put on my desk almost simultaneously for consideration for publication in our journal. And these two studies were showing a very compelling, strong correlation and strong biological plausibility for vaccines, and specifically the 12-month battery of vaccines. The first, you know, most notable in that 12-month series is the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, the MMR vaccine. And both of these studies were showing this, the appearance of these isolated retinal hemorrhages following this 12-month battery of vaccinations. And in ophthalmology, and much of medicine, emergency medicine and ophthalmology in particular, these are one of the cardinal signs of what's called shaken baby syndrome or child abuse. The premise being that an angry parent takes a child, a toddler, and shakes them so hard that it causes shearing of the retinal tissues, breaking of the blood vessels, and they get these hemorrhages. So it's a cardinal sign. And I'd been called down to the ER as an ophthalmology resident to examine, dilate the eyes, and look for these retinal hemorrhages a couple of dozen times in the 3 years of my residency program at the time that I was looking at these studies. And I'd always been really confused. Well, I think at the time that these studies came across my desk, I'd seen about 16 cases and another 8 followed that. But both of these studies, you know, as a medical editor, you look for conflicts of interest, good methodology, statistics are right. It's a really, it's a difficult process. You have to do a lot of work and have a lot of skills that you develop over time to see, you know, to discern fact from fiction. These two studies passed they checked all the boxes. Everything was excellent. And I recommended them for publication, but they were denied publications. First time of hundreds of articles that I had submitted, reviewed and submitted that had been denied. And I, of all the ones that had been submitted, these were two of the most powerful, but they got denied. So I called a meeting with the senior editor, and the senior editor said, you didn't, you know, I asked, what did I miss? He said, you didn't miss anything. You just don't understand how the game is played, Jim. And I said, well, please explain. And he said, if we were to publish these studies in our journal, you would lose your job. I would lose my job. It's not worth doing. And he said, because Merck is a major donor to this university. Merck was being the manufacturer of the MMR vaccine, which was kind of being cast in some question in these studies. And I was flabbergasted. It was also at a time when, you know, I had a family and it wasn't a hill I wanted to die on, and I didn't know enough yet. So I moved on, but it really made me realize that the science was not being published, that if it cast doubt on a big industry that has financial control over universities and medical publications, you wouldn't see it. So, Paul, you were deprived of that science, right, and that other side of the argument, because it's not being published for the reasons that I just described.
Yeah. Now, anything that sheds vaccines in a negative light is either not accepted for publication, as your example has, or in the case where we finally got our article published in a peer reviewed journal, they retract it.
Right. You know, and I reviewed your research publication. And it was exceptional. I would have recommended it for publication. It was removed not because it wasn't good science. It was removed because it cast doubt on a big industry with all the power in medicine. And that's why we're being deprived of a lot of the science. But then the other part of this story, Paul, is that this shaken baby syndrome is engineers, biomechanics, they have done multiple studies that have shown that you can't shake a baby that much. I had examined these children, Paul. They don't, if you're going to shake a baby that hard, explain to me how there will not be soft tissue injuries. There won't be bruises from where the patient was grasped and held. Right. It's never there. And you interview the parents and there's no, they're just devastated. They're remorseful. And the history was there. Every one of those cases that I saw of previous vaccination. And I was particular to ask the question. Many doctors do not, but those, when an ophthalmologist makes that, dilates the eye, or a ER physician looks in the eye and they see dot blot, you know, they see those retinal hemorrhages. That child's going to be, you know, Child Protective Services is called. That child is taken from the family. The family, you know, is separated, and the nightmare really begins for them.
It is tragic. And my apologies to all those who may have been harmed by the fact that I just didn't understand it. I was just being taught, hey, it's pathognomonic. Right. That means this happened. And the explanation, Jim, which you've said just doesn't make sense, was, well, you shake so hard that you create enough force. Well, right. If that were true, then all the kids who've been in car accidents and fall out of windows and land on their heads, they should all have the same findings. And I think they rarely do.
That's exactly right, Paul. That's exactly right. And there's a documentary that was done on this, and it's thesyndrome.com. I will, I'll try to send you a link to it so you can provide it maybe in your show notes or
that'll be awesome.
In the comments below. But everybody should watch that, especially if you find yourself in a situation where your child is being injured by vaccines. They're developing, many of the vaccines develop, cause a vasculitis, an inflammation of the blood vessels. That inflammation can be so aggressive that it causes, you know, hemorrhaging in the eyes. Now, if that's happening in the eyes, in the retinal tissue, it's happening everywhere in the body, including the brain. And so that's the real, we have been deprived, Paul, of that science. And then families, parents have been deprived and separated from their children because fraudulent science that cast doubt on powerful industries was never published the way it should be. So there is a very powerful argument to be made in court if your child becomes injured by vaccines, and it's being misdiagnosed as shaken baby syndrome.
Yeah. Sounds like that happens way too often.
It's very common. Very common.
Yeah. Wow. We've covered a lot.
yes,
I just
sir,
love
yes.
chatting with you. Take us out on a positive note as far as, you know, the people who are still watching the news and thinking that what they're hearing is factual, that it's the truth. Right. People who are living in fear, because that's all you get when you watch the news is, you know, the sky's falling. Now it's monkeypox.
Yeah. Right.
From your heart, what do you suggest people do?
Well, you know, the first thing I would say is that I've never been more optimistic, because I believe that, you know, we are being shown the depths of evil, just how nefarious, corrupt, the system that has been running the world is. They are exposing their hand. You know, they're putting it right out in broad daylight for everybody to see. The quotes that you gave of Yuval Noah Harari, the fraudulent science being supported, contrived by our public health industries. We're seeing it for what it is. I mean, the trust in the CDC has gone to all-time lows. You know, and so. So it's showing just what it is that we're working against and how important it is that we develop parallel structures, alternatives. So now you see just this same week, this past week, there was the World Council on Health, kind of the alternative to the World Health Organization that met. I think Tess Lowry, the physician and excellent meta-analysis individual that she is, she's created the World Council on Health, and it's a gathering of scientists and physicians from all over the world, and it's an example of the parallel structures that have always developed to emerged out of societies and countries in decline. You know, communist Russia, some of these places that these parallel structures would start to arise. There, you know, out of this will come something better. And you know, just better for humanity. I think there's, you know, you're starting to see the emergence of alternative health structures. You know, a lot of these displaced doctors are, you know, that left their institutions, their hospitals, because of the nonsense that was going on in hospitals and treating COVID. You know, they're retraining themselves in nutrition and, you know, lifestyle medicine, functional medicine. They're getting outside of that Rockefeller business model, and they're starting to do what I did so many years ago, which is to realize, wow, we got like 2.5 weeks of nutrition in medical school, but it's, you know, it's like, you know, 80 to 90% of health. And so we should be really become experts in that. Not just it's a byproduct of our training and it gets almost no time. So yeah. I'm just, you know, optimistic that God's shown, you know, has shown us a time and taken this advantage. It's hard to see, but you got to see it. And it's woken up a lot of people. And so we're looking at our lives and our families and our communities in very different ways. I think we got to get back to, you know, communities that grow our own food, have our, you know, have our trusted institutions. And we got to get away from this centralization of power as our enemies try to centralize their power, this new world order, this world economic forum. We're going to create better alternatives, and we're not going to live under that tyrannical transhumanist, you know, AI controlled system that they're designing for us. We won't be surveilled. We'll start pulling down those structures. And as I like to say, whenever I speak, is the 99% are going to rise up, and we're going to reclaim everything that the 1% has stolen from us. Yeah. We're going to reclaim our health. We're going to reclaim our institutions, our communities, and we're going to, the 1% can just go back into, you know, their basements and live their life out there, because we won't be controlled.
Folks, I want you to understand something, that when Dr. Meehan says 99%, you realize that's all of us.
Yeah.
I think too often that 1% wants to keep us busy fighting each other, whether it's race or religion or your party that you voted for last, keep us fighting one another so that they can just rule behind the scenes. Right. And it's time for us all to rise up together.
That's right. We're not rats in a cage, Paul. They can't just shock us and stress us to the point that we tear each other apart. You know,
we're trying.
Yeah, but that's the goal. But we're bigger than that. We serve something greater than that. There's parts of us that just innately want to love each other. And I love you. Thank you for the opportunity to hang out with you and present my views, as controversial as they might be. But I love life. God has blessed me in so many ways. And I want everybody to enjoy that kind of life and the health that comes along with it.
Wonderful. Dr. Meehan at meehanmd.com, right?
Yes, sir. Meehanmd.com.
Yep. You have helped so many who've had COVID, and now you're helping so many who are COVID vax injured. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to your new app. I think your approach is spot on. All of us who were mainstream and woke up to what was going on, we went functional, integrative, and you've put it together so nicely. So I always thought, we need an app for that. And it sounds like you're on it.
Yeah, we're on it.
Fantastic. Oh my gosh. Thank you again. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Paul. God bless you.
God bless you. Welcome, Bernadette Pager. It's so good to have you back on Against the Wind. We're going to talk about something completely different than anything we normally do. And you brought up the idea of, let's talk about fasting. Why not?
Why not intermittent fasting? And this is really still a be the news thing, Dr. Paul, because we're not giving medical advice. We want individuals to dive down and really research this free medical intervention you can do to yourself, health intervention, and even lifestyle. And then once you learn, you're going to want to share the news with others, because it's so powerful. It's a powerful way for you to prepare yourself against anything anybody wants to throw at us, and also the environment and life and everything. It really is fasting used to be more of a way of life without even trying.
Right.
But modern lives, we're grazing from the time we get up to the time we get to bed, and we don't get to enter in stages of our immune system where house cleaning basically takes place.
Yeah. Right? So fasting, folks, has been around for generations in the past. If you are pregnant or if you're talking about young children, obviously, we wouldn't recommend fasting in that situation.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth your exploring this, because not only does it have massive benefits to your immune system, but if you're like an adult in this world today, a large percentage of us struggle with weight. This is a secret weapon for weight as well, weight control. But the real reason we're presenting this is for the immune benefit. And so take it away.
You betcha. Yeah. Immune benefit, heart benefit, weight benefit, mood. It reset. I mean, it really is that amazing. And so if individuals just want to go visit healthyimmunitynow.org, and we've talked about this website before, I'm part of this website here. So I've added a section to help individuals begin their research. It's a place to begin. So a little bit about fasting, a couple of studies here. They have actually, I haven't seen if there's been a follow-up, but in 2020, there was a study done proposing that fasting could help prevent SARS-CoV-2 infections because of the way it boosts the immune system and increases, resistance to viruses. And then there's article on dietary restrictions that help with the microbiota, but there are literally thousands of studies for so many aspects of health to explore. And then, and I gave just two examples of individuals who've written about this well. We've got Dr. Axe. I don't know if you're familiar with draxe.com website. This is one of my go-to places when I begin exploring a topic, especially something that is pretty heavy in science, because he and the people who come on and do guest articles do a great job of putting it into layman's terms so you can understand it. So one of the most important things about fasting and intermittent fasting is after about 12 hours, your body goes into something that I pronounce autophagy and you pronounce
autophagy.
Autophagy.
And who knows who's right here, but the bottom line is this is the cleaning up the debris that is continually happening in our body, but it happens efficiently when we're fasting.
Efficiently when you're fasting. Yeah. So you can do a great house cleaning and repair and look at the amazing benefits that science has shown. Molecular building, recycling of damaged proteins, regulating functions of cells' mitochondria, the cell energy. It clears damage. Endoplasmic reticulum. I wish I could explain exactly what that was, but I know I've seen that all over for neurological injuries. Protects the nervous system, encourages the growth of brain and nerve cells, supports the growth of heart cells and protecting against heart disease, enhancing the immune system by eliminating intracellular pathogens. Hello. This is really huge here, especially for the potential harm we're seeing with these COVID shots, defending against misfolded toxic proteins that contribute to a number of amyloid diseases. So this could be really huge in COVID shot injuries and all vaccine injuries that we're seeing, protecting stability of DNA, preventing damage to healthy tissues, potentially fighting cancer, neurodegenerative disease, and other illnesses. In fact, so much is known about this in the world of cancer. Fasting and entering the stage of autophagy that's followed by what's called apoptosis, which is cell death, is the gold standard for cancer treatment. So when the pharmaceutical industry decides to test a new product, they compare to how well it works to killing cancer to how well fasting works to kill cancer.
Fascinating.
Right?
Think about it, folks. When you're sick, you don't feel like eating, do you? That is the body's, that's nature's natural way of putting you into a fasting state that then helps you fight that infection or that illness. So you can actually create a world in which by just doing this intermittently, you're actually facilitating all those benefits that Bernadette was just outlining.
Yeah, exactly. And I've got one more place I'd like to share with listeners here. This at America Out Loud, a fantastic place to listen to all kinds of podcasts. We've got our favorite, Dr. Henry Ely. It's been more than a year ago, but he talked about intermittent fasting, how hunger is healing. Fantastic interview. I encourage you to go listen to that. And then at the bottom, you'll also find some of his favorite references with a collection of some of the best studies and research on. Go ahead.
He's the founder of the Energetic Health Institute. His focus is all about natural healing and the power of diet. And obviously, he's a real expert in this area. You know, on the practical side, I do intermittent fasting. And I don't do it as often as I probably should, to get in a 36-hour fast at least once a month. There's benefits to that as well. But the intermittent fasting, if you're new to this, it's just about shrinking the window of your eating. So at first, maybe this is just like, oh, I can't imagine not having my three meals a day. Well, go to two, maybe. Maybe you skip breakfast, you have lunch and dinner. And then pretty soon you can get to maybe you're not having lunch. You're just eating an afternoon snack and then dinner, closing that window of eating. If you still eat healthy during those eating windows, now you're really doing some benefit. That's huge.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to undermine that good healing cleansing that you're doing when you're not eating by putting junk food in the middle there. So just remember that your body is literally made of what you eat. So if you're filling those eating hours with healthy foods, which are the building blocks of healthy cells, wow. And I have been, I think, 2 weeks now doing the intermittent fasting incorporated as a lifestyle. And I did one 43-hour fast.
Good.
And
for
it
you.
Was a lot easier than I expected, you know, distract
it truly
yourself.
Is.
That's the key, distract yourself.
you just have to realize that hunger isn't going to kill you and it will pass, right? So we all go through hard times in our lives and we go through them, right? Well, mm-hmm. if you take that little, you know, hunger that you're just used to, because that's when you eat, it passes. And you'll be surprised when you get into ketosis, which is what happens 12 to 16, 18 hours after you're fasting. Now your body can live off of your brain works on ketones, just like it can on glucose. And it's actually a whole different level of clarity. We work just fine. I mean, if you think of hunter-gatherers, they went through lots of periods of no food until they killed an animal or were able to find some food to eat. We're designed to operate that well, very efficiently.
Exactly. And the good news, Dr. Paul, if people are a little bit afraid here, black coffee and black tea do not break your fast. So you can still get up, start your day with a cup of coffee. That's what you want to do, because that was so important to me. I was so glad to learn that.
Thank goodness for that. I confess that's one of my last little frontiers, but there's some benefit to black coffee anyway.
Yeah.
So
if you don't overindulge, there's nothing wrong.
You don't need to be healthy. Just don't overdo that caffeine.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you, Bernadette. This one was a simple, straightforward one for you all to just look into this, look into intermittent fasting, add it to your toolkit and to your health.
Dr. Paul, thanks for watching the show. Please visit doctorsandscience.com. There you can access our members-only section. This show is member-supported. We don't have to take sponsors. We don't have to have anybody controlling the content of our show. This is a huge perk most people aren't aware of. Your membership gives you access to my ebooks, transcripts of every show, PowerPoints from talks I'm giving around the country, and live bonus peeks at behind-the-scenes work we're doing, my off-the-cuff thoughts and reviews on current events. Your support makes all this possible. Thank you. Help me spread the truth and share this on social media and with your friends at doctorsandscience.com. I look forward to running with you against the wind. Go to our website, doctorsandscience.com, sign up, donate if you can, and let's make this the weekly show the nation's been waiting for. I'm Dr. Paul.